options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who've suffered the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. And as always, the message is, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. If you're listening to our Thursday live internet show, please join Heidi and me on the show by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the CompassionateFriends.org website. All shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and transcripts can be accessed through thegriefblog.com. Well, good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
You know, we're back from the holidays now, and I don't know, I felt a little down in the dumps after all the excitement was over. How about you?
Well, I've lost my voice. I'm getting it back. But, yeah, I think that's from just the holidays and, like you said, the holiday letdown.
Yeah, I think it can be tough. Kids going back to school and re-entering, particularly if you've lost a loved one and or getting back to work or, you know, whatever you're doing, it
also,
can be tough.
Like you said, getting back into a routine is difficult. And I think it can be difficult and it can make life a little easier. But I think one of the most difficult things is what I call the first shift. And the first shift is when we wake up in the morning and we have to get ready. And we have to get up early and get ourselves ready and get ourselves out the door and sometimes get our kids out the door. And once we're out, oftentimes you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, the first shift. That's a great thought. Well, one of the other things that's going on right now for everyone. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say before we got into this, we've got a great guest today. He's going to be wonderful being on this show. And his name is John Peet, and he has a wonderful website called MyGriefSpace.com. So before we get on with him, I also wanted to talk about what's going on with our presidential elections, the primaries that are going on right now. The reason I wanted to mention it is because there's been some tragedy among those candidates, and I think it's really very inspiring to know what they've gone on to do. You know, John and Elizabeth Edwards lost their son, maybe about 10 years ago. Do you know how long it was, Heidi?
I think it was about that, yeah.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Edwards spoke at the Compassionate Friends National Conference and has written a wonderful book about her life and about her son. And then Joe Biden, he's dropped out, the senator from Delaware. He's dropped out of the election now. But Joe, years ago when he first went into the Senate, lost a wife and a child, a son, to an automobile accident.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he was asked, because I recall he was asked by the governor of Delaware to stay in. He wanted to quit, and now it's been all these many years, and he's then worked in the Senate and now, you know, is running for president.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is Fred Thompson. Fred Thompson's, about 5 years ago, his 35-year-old daughter died. And at that time, he was pretty much not wanting to do anything, and he's moved on to also, you know, put his hat in and do the rigors of campaigning. So these people are pretty inspiring.
Well, they are. I think it's good for us to hear that they're real people. And that they haven't had the perfect lives. They have overcome great adversity. Because sometimes when you see politicians, et cetera, on television, you think, well, they've lived these privileged lives and nothing's ever happened to them.
Absolutely. And, by the way, our president, President Bush, is a bereaved sibling. I don't think he was born when his sister died, but the senior Bush has lost a four-year-old daughter.
I wasn't aware of that either.
Yeah, so again, these people are inspiring that they've gone on to do things, aren't they, Hyde?
Absolutely. It's tough. It's tough, especially when you're newly bereaved. It's tough to even think that your life is going to change and that you're going to have hope again, even though we know that you will. But it is hard in those early days.
Yeah, that struggling and suffering, we know what you're going through. Well, Heidi, would you like to introduce our guest today?
chair, I'd be honored to. Our topic today is healing through service, and our guest is John Pete. John Pete is a certified grief counselor and founder of MyGriefSpace.com. Like many others, John came to the field through losses in his personal life that include drowning, suicides, diabetes, heart disease, asthma, homicide, leukemia, AIDS, and pets. Whenever possible, John uses his personal experiences to ease the suffering of others who have lost a loved one. He encourages anyone grieving a loss to actively seek out healing resources as a way to regain some much-needed control in their lives. John states that he finds tremendous personal healing by helping others. Welcome to the show, John.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Hi, John. It's great to have you on the show.
Hi, Dr. Glory.
First of all, I just want to mention My Grief Space to start with, www.mygriefspace.com, because you're trying to do a lot with your site to help people. You're having chat rooms. What else can people do from your site?
Well, actually, our site is pretty comprehensive. It offers resources for blogging. Our blogs also have the capability to be used as a private journal, as some people don't want to post publicly. We have a pen pals area where people can sign up and become pen pals with other members on our site. We offer support groups broken down by types of losses, and those are headed by members themselves. And then we have a live chat room, which is secure behind a password, so they can feel secure talking about their losses. And we're looking to add new things all the time.
That's great. Well, tell us, we'll talk a little bit about your site a little later on in the show, but tell us how you got into this field. I mean, you've had quite a few losses.
Right. The most recent thing that happened in my life that really pushed me towards this was I lost my best friend to suicide. We had been best friends for over 20 years, and he really had no other family, so he kind of became another one of my brothers in my family. And we did a lot of things together, spent weekends hiking in Colorado and doing all kinds of things together, and he did suffer from mental illness, which deteriorated through the years. And I had moved to New York and been gone for 2 years, and got a call one day. I had just talked to him a couple days before he took his life on the phone. And
that's a tough thing, to have talked to somebody and felt like you could do something about it, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, they always say hindsight is 20/20. The
right.
Phone call that I got from him was you know, how much our relationship has meant to me, and I've really enjoyed the years of hiking. And it did seem a little odd to me at the time. But you don't ever piece it together.
Right,
no,
yeah.
You don't
get it till after, yeah.
Yeah, and then a couple days later, I got a phone call from another mutual friend and said that he had taken his life earlier that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very traumatic, and as you mentioned, I've had, I think I sat down yesterday and just quickly counted up, and it wasn't all inclusive, but something like 10 to 15 losses in the past 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awful. What was your friend's name?
My friend's name was Rich.
Rich?
Rich Kennedy, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it kind of, at that point, pushed me to, I wanted to do something. As I went through my own grief over the next year and kind of tried to sort out what happened, I was doing a lot of research primarily on the Internet, looking at different sites and different resources. And it began to occur to me that I was spending a lot of time jumping from site to site to site to site. And I thought, why not put a lot of these resources together into one site?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of sparked the idea for MyGriefSpace.com, which is now MyGriefSpace.net, by the way.
MyGriefSpace.net.
Oh, I forgot. You changed it to .net. We've got that on our site, the griefblog.com. Well, tell us, you're a certified grief counselor. Were you a counselor before you had these tragedies, and what got you into grief counseling?
No, actually, again, it was at the point that I was doing a lot of research and working through my own grief. One of the things that I found most helpful to me was talking with other people, relating to other people.
Now, are you talking about your grief with Rich or someone else?
I think my grief with Rich, and I think past grief, unresolved grief over the few years preceding that.
What was that?
You mean who
was
that?
Right.
I lost my grandmother, who I was mm-hmm. very close to. She helped raise me as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I lost two close friends, one to brain hemorrhage and another one to AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And then not long after that, I lost another friend, another close friend, to a brain hemorrhage.
Mm-hmm. Oh. It sounds like you're a good friend, doesn't
yeah.
it, Heidi?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, you're making a really good point also, John, because it's not necessarily who died, it's the relationship we have with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, your grandmother helped raise you, and these friends of yours were like brothers to you. So you had a very tight bond with the people that died.
Yeah,
right.
I think one of the things we forget sometimes is that there are primary caregivers mm-hmm. that people are very bonded with.
Yeah, and I think I do take that on a lot with my friends. I don't have a lot of casual friends. Most of my friends are a close inner circle of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And when something happens to them, it seems to affect all of us pretty profoundly in our group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think in society, and you can tell me if this has been your experience, but in society, people tend to judge people's loss and say, well, that person wasn't related, or that person wasn't a brother, or that person was the grandmother, so therefore your grief should not be as significant, as it should not be as big, and that's, I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I run into that all the time, not only with myself but with other people, where people are telling them, well, it was just a friend, you
right.
know, or it was just somebody you worked with. But that doesn't negate your feelings of grief are real. They are what they
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have them acknowledged and validated.
Yes, yes. So eventually all of this made me want to get into the field of helping others. I kind of always found myself going quickly from being helped by the support of others to being the one that was trying to help everybody all the time. So I think it is important, though, anybody that gets into the field is at a point in their own grief that they're ready to help other people, and it doesn't drag them back into their own grief.
That's mm-hmm. a good point. And how long after Rich died did you start MyGriefSpace.net?
Let's see. He died in April 2003, and we got our site launched in December 2006.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were you doing before you went into the grief counseling business?
Wow. I was doing a lot of different things, actually. I've had a pretty diverse career. I would say I did grow up in human services. My parents were in the nursing home business, so I was always exposed to that. And earlier, fresh out of high school and even through high school, I did a lot of work in nursing homes, and that kind of got me into that. Right out of high school, I worked for 10 years as a residential counselor for developmentally disabled adults.
Mm-hmm.
I got kind of burned out on that, and I left that and did a complete flip-flop and went into the banking business, where I was a operations supervisor for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I managed a staffing agency after that, again, a big, kind of diverse employment. And then after that, I went into the grief counseling.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to talk about how you got into that counseling. I think it's interesting, very interesting to me how you've come around to that, because I know a lot of our audience is interested in going into this field since they've mm-hmm. gotten into it, I think, and we've had people ask us how we entered the field. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that when we come back from break. We're going on break, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Please join us on this show by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-472-5792. And you'd like to email us about this or upcoming shows, you can reach Heidi and me through our blog, thegriefblog.com. Our guest today is John Peet, and our topic is healing through service. Please stay tuned for more.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child. This is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you're not listening to our show every Thursday at 9 Pacific, noon Eastern, visit our new blog at thegriefblog.com. It's loaded with articles, personal stories, poems, and more. Our blog is dedicated to helping you and your family deal with loss. While you're there, submit your loved one's favorite recipes, your poems, and stories, and listen to our archives of our past shows. TheGriefBlog.com is where you'll find us. And, of course, listen to our show every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern.
At work. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us, I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're here with our guest, John Pete, talking about healing through service. John is a certified grief counselor and founder of MyGriefSpace.net. John came to the field through personal losses in his own life. He encourages others to actively seek out healing resources as a way to regain control in their lives. Welcome back to the show, John and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you.
Well, I want to remind people, if you'd like to call in, our toll-free number for the show is 1-866-472-5792. Also, emails through our blog, thegriefblog.com, about any shows that you'd like to hear about and any topics. So, John, when we, and Heidi, when we went to break, we were talking a little bit about how John got into the field. But before we do that, I just want to again mention mygriefspace.com because it's a fun place to go. Well, I guess if grief can be fun, it's a very, it's kind of an uplifting place to go, John. I want to say that. I like your colors and your energy on the space. It's nice.
Thank you.
Mom, it's mygriefspace.net.
Oh, I forgot, .net.
Now, if people go in through .com, it's okay because I do own both, and one will lead to the other. But it is on .net.
Yeah.
Well, I like the fact that it's so comprehensive, and I love the pen pals. Because sometimes when we've had certain losses, people that have had this, you know, similar losses can really relate to you.
Yeah, that was something somebody suggested. One of our members suggested is they just wanted some way to directly go into the site and find other people with similar losses. We do have a search feature where they can also do that, but I thought the pen pals was a great idea, so we added that on.
I love that, and I know that, you know, I've been working with 9/11 for 6 years, and you know, my 9/11 family say to me all the time, Heidi, people that have had other losses really can't relate to what I'm going through. It's unique because it is so public. And the way that they've healed is through searching out others that have had someone die on 9/11.
Yeah, so that is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how you did get into the field. When we were at break, we were also talking about the fact that your dad is ill with cancer and that his mother, your grandmother, on your dad's side died. That's kind of hard for him with cancer.
Yeah, it was.
To lose his mother. I don't care if she's 96 or whatever.
Right. Yeah, it did take a toll on him. And I was coming back and forth from New York the past couple years. I made a couple trips back when he had surgery for his cancer, which was in his throat. and I kind of saw him deteriorating, and we were never quite sure which way it was going to go. Thankfully, he's doing well right now. But I just decided that it was time to come back to Denver to be closer to family. You know, as your parents get older, you do start to think about those things.
Well, as a grief counselor, what do you find? You know, I was in the field of grief and loss when Scott was killed in 1983. I was actually working as a clinical nurse specialist at a hospital, and I was working with people whose kids were killed in automobile accidents and burn units and all sorts of things. And, what do you see about a counselor having grief?
It's going to happen, of course, and I think how we handle grief as grief counselors is not so different than everybody else. We may be armed with a little more information and be a little more prepared, but I think when it happens to us, we go through everything that everybody else goes through.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. I think that's extremely true, because I remember after Scott died, some of the psychiatrists and other nurses and people that I worked with at the hospital, I remember one friend standing with me, and I was reading through some of the literature because I'd actually written articles and things, and I'm like, I am going through all of these things, yearning and searching and emptiness in my stomach and waves of grief and, you know, all these things. I'm reading about them and I'm doing them.
Right, right.
Plus, the bottom line is, you can read all you want about pain and rage and anger and depression, and until you've actually felt it at your core, you can't begin to get how much pain you're going to be in and how hard it's going to be.
That is such an excellent point, because I think a lot of people that come to the field of grief counseling come here through their own losses and their own experiences, mm-hmm. and end up wanting to help others through some. I mean, loss is a experience in life like nothing else, and having been there yourself is just invaluable to helping others. You can go get all of the technical experience and all the book experience and all the degrees and whatnot, but I think one thing that you can't get anywhere else is the experience itself until it's happened to you.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough way to get it.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, I think you make an important point there, and one of the things that I found as a professional is that sometimes people hide their loss because you're not supposed to talk about it. That's kind of like back with the Freudian kind of thing. You know, you're not supposed to reveal anything about yourself as a therapist. And I think we're kind of giving that up idea up, don't you, Heidi?
I absolutely don't practice that way. I do tell my story. However, I don't get into detail, and I always check in with myself. Who am I doing this for? Am I doing it to help my client, or am I doing it for myself? And when I, you know, I'm appropriate with them, and when I show empathy and tears with my clients, it's for them, and I never do it to the point where they have to take care of me, because this is about their loss and their grief and not mine.
That's a great point, especially for our audience out there. If you are in therapy, or if you're finding a therapist, you want, and you sometimes feel uncomfortable that they're getting too involved, or a friend is getting too involved in their own story, it's time to find somebody else to check in with if you need support.
Right, you don't need to be taking care of your therapist. And also, all losses are unique and different. And I say to my clients, and John, I don't know if you do as well, you probably do, I say, look, I know what it's like to lose a brother in an instant and have my life turned upside down. However, I don't know what it's like to lose someone in the World Trade Center. That's your experience and your journey, and together we're going to heal, you know, walk our path
right.
together.
Right, I agree, and it is their journey, and you are there to support them in their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a very, very valid point, is that it's not about you. I did get into this because it is healing to me, but at the same time, I don't go in and spend my sessions talking about John's grief, you know.
Right.
You go in and you focus on them. You draw on your experiences to help them, but you make it about them.
Mm-hmm. And, John, how did you get into the field of grief and loss? You were in banking and all these things, and then you decided to go in the field. What if we've got somebody out there who is in a totally different field? What did you do?
Well, I actually, while I was surfing endless hours online, sometimes at 2, 3 in the morning, when I was going through my own grief, I met a gentleman named Dr. Flaherty, Dominic Flaherty, who heads the American Institute of Healthcare Professionals. And I emailed him and talked to him a little bit about that I was having an interest in helping other people and got suggestions from him. And they actually have a course that lasts about, it's self-paced, but it takes about a year to complete the course, and it does involve field work. And I know a lot of people shy away when you say internet, learning to do something on the internet, but it does involve testing. It is accredited, and it does involve a lot of field work that is invaluable to becoming a grief counselor. So I kept in contact with him, and when I was ready to move further into the field, I began taking their course. And I actually, it was a lot more intensive than I had expected, but it was great. It was a great course, and it's something that anybody that has a genuine interest and a commitment to become a grief counselor can do it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Online, where would they get in touch with to do that?
Their website, I think, I don't know 100%, I think it's aihcp.com, American Institute of Healthcare Professionals.com.
Okay. All right, and they could probably go to your space and my grief space and get that information from you too, right?
Yes, and I would also suggest reaching out to others in the field. Email others that are in the field that are helping people and ask them about their experiences. It's not something you want to go into blindly. I think it's something that you really have to want badly to do and be dedicated to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, John, are you in a private practice now, or how do you see clients now?
Well, I generally was seeing people one-on-one in New York. I didn't do group support. Now that I'm in Denver, I haven't really decided yet which direction I'm going to take it, and I have been focusing on my website. But I do think that moving forward, I'll definitely get back into one-to-one counseling, but I probably will also expand into group support.
So if there's people in the Denver area that would like to get involved, they should go on mygriefspace.net to get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm open to hearing from anybody at any time on our site.
What kind of plans do you have? I know you have some interesting thoughts about the Internet and what can happen, and what kind of plans would you see for the Internet?
Well, I think the Internet has opened up a whole new world. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were doing grief counseling, I think it was evolving about the same time as the Internet was evolving. And at this point, instead of reaching out just to your community, you can reach out to millions of people, literally. So I think it plays an extremely important role in providing grief support.
You know,
I'm sorry, Mom.
Excuse me, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, Mom and John, it's a virtual community 24/7, and sometimes our grief is the most profound in the middle of the night.
Absolutely.
And to be able to log on and have a community and a support system, I think, is invaluable.
Mm-hmm. And we found with the radio show, we've gone, I think we're up to 22,000 people now listening to the show, and it's just an amazing thing that people can come in and listen to the show and hear people like John talk on their show, isn't it, Hyde?
Absolutely. I mean, it's very important to know that there's people out there that will give you, metaphorically speaking, a hand, and that you're not alone in all this.
And the other thing is, everybody grieves differently, and here's an opportunity to hear, over 100 different people talking about their grief process, which is quite an amazing thing, and also professionals in the field. Well, we're coming up on break now, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Please stay tuned to hear more from our guest, John Peet, at Healing Through Service. You can call us at our toll-free number, 1-866-472-5792, with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. You can also reach us through the blog, thegriefblog.com. Stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley, co-host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you've lost someone close to you, the holidays sometimes aren't as happy as they used to be. That's one of the reasons we created the Grief Blog. Visit www.thegriefblog.com and take advantage of the articles, stories, radio show archives, and comments all about dealing with loss. We'd love it if you'd share some of your holiday stories, poems, recipes, and traditions with our growing community of people just like you and just like me who've lost someone close to them. It's as easy as sending an email and a great way to remember and honor your loved one. Please tune in Thursdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, to Healing the Grieving Heart on Voice America, and have a happy and safe holiday season.
Save the date. The Compassionate Friends 31st National Conference will be held July 18th through 20th, 2008, in the home of country music, Nashville, Tennessee. If you've experienced the devastating death of a child in your family, you will not want to miss the weekend of friendship, understanding, and hope, when more than 1,200 people just like you will join together. Said one person in describing last summer's 2007 National Conference, "There was so much love and compassion, you could feel it in the air." To learn more about the 2008 National Conference, the pre-conference professional outreach day, and the popular 2-mile walk to remember, visit CompassionateFriends.org or call 877-969-0010. Detailed information on the conference will be posted to the national website as it becomes available.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set, or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us, I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're here with our guest, John Pete, talking about healing through service. John is a certified grief counselor and founder of MyGriefSpace.net. John came to the field through personal losses in his own life. He encourages others to actively seek out healing resources as a way to regain control in their lives. Welcome back to the show, John and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, this is a very exciting and interesting show for Heidi and I to have on, because given the fact that our radio show is done on the Internet, we've got the grief blog, and we are starting a foundation called the Open to Hope Foundation, and we will also probably be changing the name of the show to the Open to Hope Show, but it'll all be the same. You'll be able to get in touch with us, but it's going to be a big change on the Internet, we're going to have a bigger site. We'll have our blog and everything, and you'll be able to find us. But we're excited about the opportunity for community on the Internet, as I know that John is. And we were talking about how great his space is, mygriefspace.net. You want to go look at it. We left there this pen pal thing. It's an uplifting, I don't know, it just gives you a warm feeling when you go on it, doesn't it?
Yes, and just to add to that, Mom, it's so comprehensive. I mean, with the blogs, pen pals, support groups, live chat rooms. It's a very comprehensive site.
Yeah. I think for John and for Heidi and me, we're all into this for the service to you all out there. And we hope that you'll tell everyone about it and get everyone involved in the community with us, so we can have this community of hope. Wouldn't you say, John?
Yes, definitely. And if I could also give your site a quick plug. We have nearly 1,000 members on our site, and I am constantly sending people over to the grief blog to connect with people that have posted there that have losses similar to their own. So I also want to applaud you for that site. It's been a great resource for our members as well.
Oh, great. And the radio show, right? Archives.
And the radio show archives, absolutely. I love the archives. The archives are great. Anytime I have spare time, I jump in there and find a different archive show to listen to.
Yeah, one of the things that we want to do with our new site is we want to group. Now we have enough shows to group on different topics, like a loss of a sibling, loss of an adult child, loss of a parent. So we're hoping to do a little bit more of that, aren't we, Heidi?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to say one more thing about service, which I love. This is why I love the internet also. Even if you're newly bereaved and you feel like you just can't do anything or give back, sometimes, even if you feel really bad, you can get on the internet and reach out to someone else who's had a loss, and you can give back that way and be of service, and that can be the beginning of your healing process.
Absolutely. People really value the comments that are made to their losses on the griefblog.com. Now, can people comment on other people's stories on My Grief Space?
Yes, there is a choice to do that. Whoever posts the blog has a choice to open it up for comments.
So I think you're right, Heidi. Just making that comment can be the first step out to helping others. Well, John, I wanted to ask you a little bit. We were talking a little bit about a grief, you know, you're a certified grief counselor, about your dad now has throat cancer and his mother died recently. What kinds of thoughts do you have for people on this ongoing journey that we're having in the world?
I think it's really important for people, not only that have lost someone or that are going to lose someone, but in general, to be attentive to the fact that it's very, very likely that we are going to lose loved ones in our lives. And it seems to me, I run into this a lot, that society has kind of turned a blind eye to the topic of death and dying and healing afterwards. I don't often run into people that are teaching their children about death and dying and how to cope with it.
Or schools that have it in their curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Schools would be great.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was saying to Heidi earlier that John Edwards and his wife had mentioned, I don't know if you saw it in the press, but they'd mentioned the death of their son, Wade, and people said that was a cheap shot to use that for political gain. And Elizabeth Edwards said, that's ridiculous, you know. But people are, isn't that, I just unbelievable.
I don't understand that comment. That comment doesn't make any sense to me.
And, you know, people just don't get it in a world that we honor our loved ones by remembering them.
Exactly.
That it's not about getting
paid. And they're amazing role models of showing people that it's okay to keep memories alive of Wade and Rich and my brother Scott. We're always going to do that. They're always a part of our lives, even though they're not here.
One of the things I like to say is, you know, someone asked me the other day, well, you know, you never get over it, right? And I said, well, you know what? I'm not suffering anymore.
Right.
I remember, but not with suffering.
I like that.
Right, and what does that comment mean, getting over it? You know, we move into different places with our loss. I don't think any of us want to get over who our loved one is in our life and who they always will be in our life. It's what we do with that grief and how we heal it.
Mm, yeah, well said.
And that gets me to the point of, I wanted to ask you, John, how do you take care of yourself with your dad being ill and with your grandma dying? How do you take care of yourself, and what do you suggest to your clients?
And also with hearing the stories on My Grief Space and being supportive of others.
Yep.
Well, I do think that it is important to let yourself get somewhat involved, because you want to be able to draw on your personal experiences. But I think that you can't take that to heart if you're on our site helping someone, when you leave that site, there are other people that you're going to be helping, and you can't let that be accumulative to drag you down, or it will pull you back down into your own grief. So I think you really have to focus on it while you're in it, and then you have to go on to whatever you're doing next. You can always come back to it. It's always going to be there waiting for you if you want to come back to it, or you need to readdress it, or you need to do more counseling with that person. It's always going to be there. You can come back to it. It's okay to leave it there and go on to what you need to do next.
Mm-hmm. So compartmentalizing.
Yes, I think so.
I agree with you.
Now, what do you do for yourself physically? Are you a walker or a runner, or, you know, what do you do to take care of yourself?
My outlet actually is I love building websites.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not real technical about it. I do use web building software, but I love building websites for other people, and I do a lot of that, and that's a great outlet for me. And I think whatever anybody's outlet is, it might be a hobby, it might be exercise, it might be something else. Whatever it is, you can focus on that as a distraction.
So you design and create things.
Yes, I love to design and create things. That's very true.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Heidi?
My outlet? Oh, let's see. Walking, yoga, those kind of things. Yeah, and I definitely compartmentalize, like John said, taking time to visit grief and pain and then putting it away in a little box in my head. I just kind of metaphorically speaking put it all in there and shut it and say, you know what, now I need to focus on something else. Now I need to take care of myself. Now I need to do something positive because I can go and revisit it if I need to.
Mm-hmm. Because you have pretty intense business where you actually go into people's homes.
Yes, I do.
And work with them.
I go into people's homes and do therapy and work with people that have had deaths in 9/11. And the way that I take care of myself in that is we go in with a team. And afterwards, I'm able to talk with other people and share my feelings or my pain or my thoughts with a group of other people. I think it's important that we not try to handle everything on our own. In other words, if for those of you that are grieving out there, it's important to find people that you can reach out to. Mm-hmm. Don't try to do this on your own. Reach out to others.
And I think the net is a great way to reach out. However, sometimes people need some human contact, too. Would you say, John?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I think nearly everybody that I talk with on our site, first off, that's one of the things that we do talk about is building a network of support around you. And that very importantly includes human contact, your friends, supportive family members, supportive clergy, whoever it is that you can put around you to help you get through this and cope with it on a day-to-day basis.
And, of course, animals, too.
And animals. Mm-hmm. Animals are great.
They are. In fact, I've known many people that have gotten dogs, including my own family, after someone died and said it really helped in healing.
I think it's the nurturing. You have something around you to nurture.
Well, the other thing that happened with us, Heidi's talking about our little dog. We got a Shih Tzu named Brittany after Scott died. And the thing was that people had something to talk to us about. It's strange, but everyone would come up and talk about our dog.
Right.
You know?
Isn't that the truth? People do not know what to say when somebody has died, and it's really not that easy for anybody that's listening that might take something away from this, is just be there for them. Just say, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm here to listen.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, and that will open a huge door, bigger than you think.
Well, one thing I want to say out there, and Heidi and I have found it, we've been discussing this recently, John, is the fact that not everyone needs a grief group. We always, you know, recommend Compassionate Friends or other groups. We have one in Palo Alto called CARA, and I am a group leader for a Compassionate Friends group in Palo Alto, California. But some people don't want to do group, and they like the Internet. And they find that helpful. Some people find it with their clergy. Some people read more than others. So they're just very fascinating, the different approaches. Some people like individual therapy. Some people don't. They don't get a lot out of it.
Some people don't want to hear other people's stories, I found. They want to tell their story, but they have difficulty hearing others. And I think that, like you said, Mom, that's fine. Whatever method works for you is what you should use.
Yeah, I think that's right. Do you have a comment on that, John?
Well, yeah, I think that opening up whatever resources are available to people, and if you're really listening to people, you will find what works for that individual person, and then you can kind of encourage them in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something different for everybody.
And, you know, get in touch with yourself. If you're feeling lonely, you need to reach out. Even if it's hard for you to get out of bed, you know.
Well, and one way you can do that, Mom, is go on the Internet and read people's stories. You don't necessarily even have to respond, just as a way of connecting with something or someone.
Mm-hmm. And even turning your computer on can be a big deal.
Yeah.
Just getting out of bed to do that, we know that. But also, you know, you do, with the Internet, with the radio show, you do get a human voice. Which I think is interesting, but we don't get a lot of call-ins on the show, which is fascinating. We know we have a lot of you listening out there, but I think that's part of the process. It's part of the Internet process, and also maybe some of the folks that listen to us are people who don't want to talk.
Possibly, yeah. I think it can be a little intimidating to call in also.
Mm-hmm.
I remember before I hosted the show, I had to call in. I called in at one point, and then I was a little anxious and waiting. I mean, once people get on, they like it because they realize it's very casual. But just the process of sitting down and actually doing it can be stressful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got any thoughts about that, John?
Well, along those lines, one of the things that we are planning on adding to our website is the ability for people not only to chat, but to use webcams and see each other while they're chatting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that takes chat to the next level, you know, and I think that can be a good and positive thing, and it's totally optional.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting what's going on with the Internet. Sometimes we're hoping to have some educational kinds of things going on, too, because we have our experts on the show. And so we have some educational, but we're hoping to get a newsletter out and a few things so we can kind of combine the educational along with the survivors and kind of mix it up back and forth. Well, we're coming up on break now, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Please stay tuned to hear more from our guest, John Pete, about healing through service. You can call us on our toll-free number, 1-866-472-5792, regarding our show or questions that you might have or things that you might want to hear on the next show. You can email us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, and these shows are archived on our blog and on the Compassionate Friends website. Please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health and wellness.
Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you're not listening to our show every Thursday at 9 Pacific, noon Eastern, visit our new blog at thegriefblog.com. It's loaded with articles, personal stories, poems, and more. Our blog is dedicated to helping you and your family deal with loss. While you're there, submit your loved one's favorite recipes, your poems, and stories, and listen to our archives of our past shows. Thegriefblog.com is where you'll find us. And, of course, listen to our show every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, here on Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us, I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're here with our guest, John Pete, talking about healing through service. Welcome back to the show, John and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, John, this is our last segment, and I just want to again mention to people that they ought to take a look at mygriefspace.net and go into that and might want to interact with that site. I wanted to ask you, I know we were talking yesterday about the fact that when we get low and wondering what we're doing, spending all these many, many hours on the Internet, that you will get some kind of a message that comes through. And I wondered if you had one in mind that you might talk about from somebody who's listened to your site that's kept you going.
I'm sorry, you're cutting in and out. And
you can't hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. Do you have any comments from, well, I know when we talked, you said that sometimes you feel like, you know, is it really worth it, all these hours I'm spending putting on this? Are people really out there? And then you said you get comments from people that really keep you going. Do you have any thoughts on that, any comments in particular that you've found inspiring?
Absolutely, and it happens every week that you kind of hit a point. You put so many hours into it, and you start to wonder, excuse me, sometimes, am I really helping somebody, or who am I really helping? And then you'll get comments back. People will instant message with you or send you an email and say, thank you for this site. I don't think I could have got through the hours without it, or having the site that's available 24 hours and that they can come on late at night. And it makes it all worthwhile. If I got one of those comments in the whole year that our site's been up, it makes it all worthwhile for me.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Heidi, we got one today from Carol, didn't we?
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
Carol, whose son died in an auto accident?
No, the one who has a suicide website and somebody connected with her.
Oh, yes, Carol. Okay, that was Cindy's son that died in an auto accident. Yes, Carol just emailed us to thank us for the show and say that she touched base with someone that had called in when she was a guest, and this person said that the show had impacted his life, and she just thanked us for having her on.
Yeah, so it's amazing having, you know, it even goes out to our guests. And they, you know, it just goes out into the whole universe.
Well, like you're both saying, we don't know who we're impacting. We hear from some of the people. There are many people out there that are listening right now that we'll never hear from. And we have no idea what our influence is, but there are people that we will impact, and there are so many of you that have impacted me.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, John, before we close our show, can you talk a little bit, our show is about healing through service, and you were saying that there are other ways besides the net. Could you talk about some of those ideas for people?
Sure. I think there are a lot of opportunities for people that want to help others as part of their own healing, and those don't always relate directly to the field of grief. I mean, there are hospitals and centers for developmentally disabled or the mentally ill or the blind or the deaf. There are just ample opportunities out there, and if you need to get out and do something that will more than likely take you in a positive direction, I would always suggest checking into volunteering in one of those areas of service.
Even the Salvation Army, we had a guest on that called the Salvation Army, said, I want to volunteer at Christmas, and was one of the ones that rang the bell and gathered money on the street in New York. I mean, like you said, there's many ways we can be of service.
That's right, and it can be just a one-off, one-time thing, too. So if you're not, at this point, ready to commit to, you know, sitting at, you know, doing something at a hospital on a weekly basis or whatever, you could call the Salvation Army like they did and ring a bell.
Or look around you at your neighbors. Sometimes your neighbors might have a broken leg and need you to run to the store. All these little things do help you feel better about yourself.
You know, Harriet Schiff, who wrote The Bereaved Parent, which is really kind of the quintessential book on grief and loss from, you know, one of the first, said something that I thought was interesting. She said, the first thing that I knew I was starting to come back was I baked a cake.
Right.
And, you know, why do you bake a cake? You bake a cake to give to other people.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. I had a guy once that paid for my toll in the toll booth. And when I got up there in my car, the guy said, the person in front of you paid and said, have a nice day.
Yeah.
He paid for
great.
Me. That was his service.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And it made my day.
And I think it often does encourage other people's. When you do a good deed, it kind of passes on down the line.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, if you've had suffered a loss in your family or friends and the other people know, when they see you able to do one thing, they're so heartened because they do hurt for you too.
Yes, yes, that's an important point.
So they see that you're moving along, too. So it's inspiring on both sides. Well, it's almost time for us to close the show, John. I wondered if there are any thoughts or comments or anything that you'd like to pass on before we end the show.
I would just say that if you're hurting, reach out. If you see somebody that's hurting, reach out and try and meet somewhere in the middle. And I think everybody will come out better for it.
Mm-hmm. And how about visiting your space?
Please come check out our space at mygriefspace.net, and I would love to hear from you. I'm open to all comments, suggestions, new visitors, new members. Come on over and check us out.
Now, is there a fee for joining?
No, our site is absolutely free.
That's great. So, Heidi, do you have any more thoughts about the site before we close the show?
I think the site is wonderful for people out there, and I would just say what John had said, is just to visit the site and just check it out and see what's going on, especially if you're feeling alone and you're feeling isolated and you're feeling like you don't know how you're going to survive, you don't know how you're going to get through this. Go on and see how others have done it, and that will be the first step.
Mm-hmm. So take care of yourself out there, and it's time to close our show today, and we want to thank John Pete for talking with us about healing through service, and I think he is a prime example of how you can reach out, and he has reached out in quite a big way, but how we can all reach out in smaller ways also. Next week, our guest is Rabbi Earl Grohlman. Rabbi Grohlman is a noted writer, lecturer, and teacher. He's authored over 27 books on crisis management. It's going to be quite an experience having Rabbi Grohlman on the show. We hope you'll listen in. This show's archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Please stay tuned again next Thursday at 9 Pacific Standard Time, 12 Eastern, for more of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal and support. Remember, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. John, Rich, your grandmother, and all those that you've loved and have lost are gone but never forgotten. They live on in your heart and in your memories. Thank you for all the work you do to help others heal on mygriefspace.net. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.